In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
I want you to take a second and think back to someone in your life who you consider a teacher or a mentor, particularly someone who embodied that role better than anyone else for you. Bring that person to mind. Could be an actual teacher, could be a friend, could be someone who influenced you in a strong way. And once you've got that person in mind, I want you to think about what qualities that person has that makes them such a strong teacher, such a strong influence in your life. What was it about them that made such an impression on you? I had lots of people come to mind when I asked that question of myself, and I began to hone in on the notion that each of those people challenged me in a way that I didn't expect. We sometimes hear the word challenge as a pejorative. How dare you challenge me? How dare you challenge my view on things? But challenge is part of the way we expand ourselves. Some of the teachers and mentors that came to mind for me challenged my worldviews in ways that left indelible marks. When I read Jesus' words this morning from chapter 12 of Luke, I certainly feel challenged. But again, to be challenged is to be open to a new way of thinking, of seeing, of being in the world. So if you found the words of Jesus to be challenging this morning, I think the follow-up question is, what sort of worldview is Jesus inviting us to embody? So first, let's take a look at Jesus' words here in chapter 12 of Luke. We've been in this section of Luke for a few weeks now. We're on the way to Jerusalem. So this is a section where Jesus is preaching and teaching throughout the Holy Land, gathering followers, sharing God's love, spreading God's sense of grace and mercy. And so out of context, Jesus' words sound rather harsh. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided. Three against two and two against three, they will be divided. It certainly doesn't sound like Jesus if the version of Jesus we have internalized is the soft-spoken preacher of love. No, this is Jesus the prophet here, which is such an important side of Jesus. He's even quoting the prophet Micah as he lists the familial relations that will be strained as part of the reckoning that Jesus is bringing about. And this section of Luke, which starts back in chapter 9, is full of prophetic calls that speak to what the kingdom of God is like. Just to name a few of the greatest hits here, we have the story where a new follower asks to go and bury his father before following Jesus. Jesus brings in some of the themes of today's passage, saying, "Let the dead bury the dead." It's a stark reminder of the immediacy the kingdom of God requires of us. We have the story of Mary and Martha, which we heard just a few weeks back, which again speaks to the full attention the kingdom of God requires of us. We have the Good Samaritan, where Jesus calls out the hypocrisy of the current times in a story where a sworn enemy of Israel is the one that shows the most grace. We have passages that examine material and monetary wealth, calling out the greed so prevalent in society. We have passages that call out the hypocrisy of the religious leaders of the day, accusing them of essentially being more preoccupied with status and glory than with God. I name all of these things to make the point that Jesus' strong and challenging language in this morning's section of chapter 12 is not really as out of place as it seems. Having made all these points, Having pointed out the broken, destructive, and dissonant nature of the world as it is, Jesus offers a solution. Division. To divide something in the literal sense is to set something apart, to have two things separated. But having looked at the teachings in Luke's gospel, having just reviewed the deep human connection required of God's children, the division that Jesus speaks of must be a division of something outside of human relationship. Division in the way that Jesus is using it is presented as an antidote to the status quo of the day. He's saying, it's not by accident that all the things that I've just said, the hypocrisy, the greed, the neglect of prayer, the neglect of neighbors, the hatred towards outsiders, it's not by accident that these things have become rampant around us. These things are rampant because you have forgotten about deep human connection. These things are rampant because you are failing to see God in each other. And so these things are not part of the kingdom of God. These things are not part of the radical nature of love that Jesus has been preaching and teaching throughout the land. These things do not define our relationship with God or the world around us. Jesus here embodies that classic stance of a good teacher and challenges those around him to divide themselves, to set themselves apart from the things that feed into the brokenness around us. A challenge that is also an invitation into the true goodness of God. A goodness that is antithetical to the brokenness that he has spent the last three chapters of Luke defining. A goodness that he has staked his whole life and ministry on. A goodness that will lead him to the cross in defiance of the status quo of the day. To divide is to be set apart. To create division in the sense that Jesus is using it is to set apart all of creation, all of humanity, all of the world, and to keep that creation in the goodness that God has intended all along. As Christians, especially as Episcopalians, we see baptism as one of the things that sets us apart. This is part of the division from the evil of the world that corrupts and the acceptance of the goodness of God that sustains. And to be clear, it is not a division from others, but rather a division in the sense of the cosmic order. We are all called to be set apart for the goodness of God. This is all anchored in the final piece of our passage today. Jesus asks a question of the crowd regarding their ability to perceive. He says, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites! You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This section presents yet another challenge. Jesus uses the analogy of weather to call out our own acquiescence to the status quo. In the same way that we can look at the clouds and see that it is going to rain, we can look and see that the world is not as it should be. We live it every day. We see it every day. We who have studied the teachings of Jesus, who have lived into his radical ideals of love, can easily look around us and see that there are many things that do not embody the goodness that God desires for us. And so Jesus here, acting as prophet, is challenging us to reject the views of the world that we already know are broken. to reject the views of the world that will only perpetuate such brokenness. When Jesus proclaims that he has not come to bring peace, but rather division, he is saying, I have come not to make a peace which only works at the disenfranchisement of others, not to make a peace that is fragile and weak, not to make a peace that is built on broken systems, but rather to separate all of God's children from the forces that keep real peace from happening, to separate the world that God loves so much from the forces that corrupt and destroy. Interpret the times, as Jesus says. God incarnate is right here telling you how the world is meant to be. God incarnate is as clear as the impending storm cloud, saying that what is happening around us is not part of the goodness that God has made manifest in creation. God incarnate is attempting to light a fire in our souls, to get out and to go do something about it. It is time for division. It is time to stand up. It is time to be set apart. It is time to reject what pulls us away from God. We are being challenged today. We are being challenged to separate ourselves from worldviews that preach the haves and the have-nots, to separate ourselves from the worldviews that perpetuate greed, to separate ourselves from worldviews that allow us to not care about the sufferings of others, to separate ourselves from worldviews that preach isolation and nationalism, to separate ourselves from the evils that tell us that peace is not achievable. These are not part of the kingdom of God. These are not part of the goodness that God has made accessible to all of creation. And so we are right to separate ourselves from the forces that try to tell us otherwise. You have been set apart, not because you are better than anyone else, but because the goodness of God is indelibly marked onto your soul. And that goodness requires you to share the love of God throughout your world. As strange as it sounds, this holy division requires you to embody a radical inclusion. Because to believe in God's goodness, to believe in goodness at all, is to believe that all of creation is worthy. All of creation is loved. All of creation is marked in the same way. May we all accept the challenge to love each other as much as God loves us, because that is the only worldview worth anything. Amen.